So let's turn to the word of life together as we find it in Hebrews. We're going to be reading just a few verses from Hebrews in chapter 1 tonight in our continuing series, really looking at some of the letters and somehow they portray the wonder of the incarnation. We've been in Colossians together and Philippi. We're going to go into Romans together, God willing, next week. And we find ourselves in Hebrews tonight. You know, most people in the UK, they still believe in God. They still have some form of nodding acquaintance. But what sort of God do they believe in is a mystery to me. According to one national survey, 30% of people think that God is a person, whilst 42% think of God as some sort of impersonal force. But even that doesn't tell us much, really. Think about those 32% who believe that God is a person. What sort of God do they envisage? The fact is that left to our own imagination and speculation, all sorts of weird and wonderful ideas will emerge as to the nature of God. But the good news of God's word is that God has not left to ourselves the subject of God. He's not left it to guesswork. God has spoken, and in speaking, he has shown what kind of God he is. That is exactly what the writer of the Hebrews begins with in his letter in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. Just a few verses here. In the past, it says, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In these opening verses of this incredible book, Hebrews is one of my favorite books, but I say that about them all. But in these opening verses, we see two things quite clearly. We see the preparation for Christ, and we see the presentation of Christ, the preparation for Christ and the presentation of Christ. First of all, in this preparation for Christ, God spoke through the prophets. Initially, God spoke by them. God is not a speechless God. He's not detached. He's not uninvolved. The true and living God, the God in whom we worship, unlike the idols of the heathens who are dumb beings, God speaks. The God of the scriptures is not like them. He is not silent. He speaks. Just consider again, if you would, what he says there in Genesis 1, verses 3, it says there, and he said, in verses 6, he says, and God said, in verse 9, he says, and God said, in verse 11, then God said, in verse 14, and God said, in verse 20, and God said in verse, going back to verse 18, and God said, and in verse 20, and God said, and finally in verse 26, then God said. God speaks, he has spoken. And the Old Testament is not the wisdom of men, it's the voice of God speaking. You know what it's like when you start that new reading for the beginning of the year and you get to Genesis and you read the narrative and you get into Exodus and, oh, it's all wonderful. And then you get to Leviticus and, by heck, it's hard going. Suddenly there's no narrative there. It just seems. But, you know, when you get to the book of Leviticus, it's some of the most direct speaking of God to his people. It is God's wisdom. It's not man's wisdom. It is God's voice speaking to his people. And he spoke in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was, its purpose really was to prepare for the coming of Christ. Whether that was in prophecy as it spoke, or in type, or in principle, or in commandments, or whatever it was all for the preparation for the coming of Christ. So when the writer to the Hebrews refers to the prophets here, he's not just speaking about those prophets that we refer to as the minor prophets or the major prophets towards the second half of the Old Testament. No, he's speaking of people like Moses and Samuel and Elijah. All of those were regarded as prophets. No, the whole of the Old Testament is a record of God's self-revelation, a record of God speaking to his people about himself. You know, today we hear an awful lot of what people think about God. I don't really need to hear what anybody thinks about God, especially when we know that we've got written before us what God has said about himself. So our passage recognizes that there is one way in which God spoke. God spoke in many various ways, not just one way, sorry. On one hand, he spoke in the storm, in the thunder to Moses. Yet on another way, he spoke to Elijah in a very still, small voice. God spoke to some through extraordinary visions and dreams and signs. Just think about all that he said to the prophet Daniel. Yet God also spoke to others through the ordinary, everyday experience of life, while to others again, he spoke into that innermost recesses of their heart and mind as they wrestled with the issues of the day. There's all different ways in which God spoke, as the writer of the Hebrews says, but it's all God speaking. Now, men were used to God using their personalities. They were used of God in their minds. He used their intellect as well. But they were totally controlled by the Spirit of God, so that every word they said was the word of God. God decided what they to write, and he delighted in what they were saying. We know as well, as we read through, that some of the Old Testament is history. Some of it is poetry. Some of it is beautiful Hebrew meter. But some of it was law. Some of it was prophecy. But it was all God speaking. But in speaking to the prophets, God did not reveal all of himself. God did not speak fully. The clear implication of this opening passage in Hebrews, this verse that we've just read, is that it wasn't until the coming of God himself in the wonder of the incarnation, the revelation of God remained incomplete. That comes out very clear in the way of certain translations interpret this passage. Just say the New English Bible, it uses he spoke in fragmentary and various fashions through the prophets. That's how it records. Or in another paraphrase version, it says it uses long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers through the prophets, telling them little by little of his plans. We see this fragmentary nature of God's revelation, perhaps in a way in which the prophets are often characterized as one dominant area. For instance, Amos, he's especially his long cry for social justice, while Isaiah, as a result of his vision of God in the temple, it was dominated right the way through the book of the holiness of God. Hosea, because of his bitter home experiences, reveals something about the wonder of the grace of God. However, the fact that the prophet's understanding of God was fragmentary and partial, it does not lead us to despise what they've said, make these words irrelevant, as some would claim that the Old Testament is irrelevant to us today. We just need the New Testament. Oh, no. The Old Testament may not contain the whole truth, but it does contain the truth concerning the nature of God that is still of utmost significance for us today. In the Old Testament, we do not see the idea of God gradually evolving in the sense of the prophets gradually came nearer and nearer to the truth. The Old Testament is the story of God's progressive revelation. Each stage, the truth was present, but it was not the whole story. Genesis gives us some, Exodus gives us some more, and it builds and it builds and it builds. It's what theologians refer to as its progressive revelation. And so the Holy Spirit, when he established, as it does in verse 1, the accuracy of the Old Testament as divine authorship, it's God doing the speaking. However, he spoke again in these last days. in the presentation of Christ in verse 2. Look what it says. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken by his Son. That's the wonder of the incarnation. What was only part revealed through the prophets is now fully revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. In these days, he's spoken to us through his Son. Jesus is God's final word. And you know that the whole of the New Testament is centered around him, just as the whole of the Old Testament pointed towards him. The whole of the New Testament is centered around him. The Gospels give his story. The epistles, as we've been reading through over these last couple of weeks together, all comment on it. And the Revelation tells us what is going to happen. It's all Christ, all of it, from the beginning to the end of the New Testament. It's about him. In these last days, spoken to us through his Son. Do you know that no prophet has grasped the whole truth? Only the truth, only the whole truth is revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how did God reveal himself in this way? Did Jesus have more to say about God than the prophets? Not really. Clearly, the teachings of Jesus are invaluable for our understanding of the nature of God and what God would have to us, what he was is like. But if the significance of Jesus is resulting solely in his teaching was to be found only in his word, he would still be just another prophet, a great prophet, the greatest prophet. No, the importance of the Lord Jesus lies not just in what he said, as important as it is, but in who he is and what he did. He is God himself incarnate. First he spoke in words, and then he spoke in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. God spoke through his very life, through his very being. Whereas the prophets were both friends of God, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. And so God's final revelation was made in one greater than the prophets, as the writer of the Hebrews declares. The Old Testament came in pieces. To Noah, it was via the quarter of the world from which the Messiah would come. To Abraham, the nation of the Messiah. To Jacob, the tribe of the Messiah. To David and Isaiah, the family of the Messiah. To Micah, the town in which he would be born. To Daniel, the time in which he'd be born. To Malachi, the forerunner who would come before the Messiah. To Jonah, his resurrection was typified, and anyone who the pieces that all came together in between. But in Christ Jesus, everything was whole and total. And in the revelation, it was fully complete. And so is established the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the writer of the Hebrews says. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than any revelation in the Old Testament. God has fully expressed himself in Christ Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews knew that. And there was no doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. God has spoken to us by his Son, he declared. As the Son of God, Jesus was able to reveal to us the Father in a way that nobody else could ever do. You know, you've heard that saying, haven't you? Like Father, like Son. It's frightening every now and again. I've noticed it more on Zoom just because of that image that you have on Zoom. You have the image of yourself there. I've got to confess, I actually cover myself up with my notes so I don't have to look at myself. I'm just pushing myself back. But it's frightening every now and again when I look at myself on Zoom, because do you know what? I see my Father. I think, oh dear me, I'm starting to, and I even hear him sometimes. It's interesting, a few weeks ago, Aaron put a picture of Suzanne and I up on Facebook. It was around about our anniversary in September. And the clever algorithms of Facebook, I don't understand how it works, but it recognises when you've put a picture of yourself up on Facebook. And Aaron put this picture of me and Suzanne on our wedding day, and it came up, would you like to tag yourself in this picture? It identified Aaron as being me because of whatever Facebook's able to do. Like father, like son, my poor boy. But as the Son of God, the writer of the Hebrews declared that Jesus is the reflection of God's glory. He is the radiance of God's glory. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was associated with splendor beyond imagination, the kind of splendor that makes all the pomp and circumstance and ceremony of the queen's coronation or the enthronement of an archbishop seem just like mundane, everyday stuff. The Old Testament used words of glory to describe his unimaginable splendor. For Jesus, therefore, to reflect the brightness of God's glory is to reflect the brightness of God's presence. And how is Jesus able to reflect such brightness? Well, analogy draws from the epistle of the sun may help us to, in some, we can look at the sun through some smoke glass at the time of an eclipse, and it allows us safely to study the sun. So Jesus makes the divine glory bearable to human. Otherwise, we could not gaze upon him. Such is his glory. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ is also the exact imprint of God's very nature. So the incarnation of the Son of God introduces God's imagined impression to humankind. Some have questioned, what is God like? What is it like to know God? Or can we be close to God? Can we really know him? You know, if you know Jesus, then you know God. If you are close in your walk with the Lord Jesus, then you are close to God. God has spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ. How has he done that? Well, first of all, through his birth. In the first instance, as we consider this time of year, as we celebrate it, he spoke to us through his birth, through the wonder of the incarnation. Time we see the glory of God in a manger. In the words of John, the Word became flesh. We have seen his glory, the glory as a father's only son. The first sight, such a claim may seem paradoxical, for humanly speaking, there is nothing glorious about the stable. Nor was there anything glorious about the helpless fragility of a baby. And yet with the eyes of faith, when you and I see or imagine the wonder of that babe, we see the glory of God's love in a human form. God has spoken in an amazing fashion. He has spoken a word of love. We see the glory of God also in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in his birth, but in his whole life as well, in his teaching, in his healing, in his claim to forgive people of their sins. There we see truly a work of God. So John writes that in Canaan of Galilee, Jesus revealed his glory to his disciples, recorded for us there in John 2 and verse 11. For Jesus was no ordinary man. He was not even the most wonderful man who ever lived. He was the Son of God himself. It is no wonder that one particular commentator wrote these words. I know men. And I tell you that Jesus is not just simply a man like them. Superficial minds see the resemblance between Christ and the founders of the empires and the gods of other religions. That resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and whatever other religion, there is a massive distance of infinity. Everything in Christ, he goes on to state, astonishes me. His spirit overwhelms me. And his will confounds me. Between him and whatever else there is in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. He is truly a being by himself. His ideas and his sentiments, the truth which he announces, his manner of convincing are not explained either by human organizations or the nature of things. The nearer I approach, the more carefully I examine. Everything is above me. Everything remains grand, of a grandeur which overwhelms me. His religion is a revelation from any intelligence, which certainly is not that of man. One can absolutely find nowhere but in him alone, the imitation of his life. I search in vain in history to find a similar to Jesus Christ in everything which I can approach the gospel. Neither history, nor humanity, nor the ages, nor nature offer me anything in which I'm able to compare or to explain. Here, everything is extraordinary. This is our Jesus. Above all these things, we see the glory of God in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazingly, God's glory was seen in the cross, not just in the incarnation, not just in his life, but in the cross. For there, in the midst of the evil, God was at work, extending forgiveness to the sinner, bringing healing out of pain, turning this world upside down, or more correctly, turning the world God-sidal. And then in his resurrection, as the proof of God's, that God was satisfied, all in the words of the writer of the Hebrews, when he said he made purification for sins, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, crowned with glory and honor. Jesus Christ was seen in all of these things, and God has spoken in these last days through his Son. And so as we conclude tonight, as we conclude on this day, what has been a good day together, a busy day, but it's been good, I want to encourage you to know that God still speaks today. The God who spoke in the Lord Jesus Christ still speaks through his precious word today by the power of his Holy Spirit. Whatever stage in life we may be at, whether we are a young or old, God wants to speak to us today. And in speaking, he ends for us to respond to his love. He desires that we respond to him and enter into the fellowship with him that he offers. He says in the writer, for the writer of the Hebrews towards the end of the book in Hebrews 12, 25, he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refuted him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? God is still speaking to us through his precious word by the power of his Holy Spirit from his throne room in heaven. Although these words and all through these words are in the first place addressed to the group of Jewish believers, they are also addressed to us. These group of believers who were tempted to give up on their Christian faith and go off, but instead returned in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has spoken in times past. He's spoken through his own Son, and he's speaking to us today through the power of his Holy Spirit to draw us closer to himself so that we can enjoy the fellowship that he offers through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for you this Christmas time, just as we prayed for everybody tonight, that the God of hope would fill you with all joy, with all peace as you trust in him. And that trust would help you to know him more, draw you closer to him this Christmas time. And that you would clearly hear him speak through his precious word.